Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Hi, this is Dr. Andy Barlow with the Chiropractic Physician Center of Tupelo and author of the number one best-selling book, The Codebreaker. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Then call my office at 662-844-1414 and order my new book, The Codebreaker.
You're listening to the Rebel Report Podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, welcome in. I'm early, and I'm going to be short today. It's just what has to happen. Shorter live stream tonight. Glad that you guys are here. Nonetheless, welcome into Rebel Report Live. My name is Michael Borky. I appreciate you being here. By the way, little funny sidebar for you. So after I put my son to bed, as if you guys watch or listen often, you know that my home office here, if you want to call that this, and his room is literally right there, and we share a wall. And he doesn't always fall asleep right away. And so he hears when I do this with you guys. The other day, he walked right up to this microphone and sat down in this chair and goes, I'm Michael Borky. So I guess he's been listening. So anyway, I am very glad that you guys are here. We're just going to dive right into it because this is going to be a shorter edition of the show tonight. I've just got a lot going on. I got a lot to do. So I'm glad you're here. Again, a half hour early. And let's get into it. Follow the show. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Search Rebel Report. Leave a rating and a review. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe. Love to have you guys there. Also, if you're listening, hop on over to YouTube. Just search my name. Subscribe there so you can catch this live. And if not, if you miss it, it's right there in podcast form as well. And this edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. For all of your personal injuries, small business, or contract disputes, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. He's located in Saltillo, Mississippi, but if you're in this great state, he can serve you. Don't delay. Call DJ today, 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. 9799. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, will not treat you like you're just a number. He will treat you like a person. He will build a relationship with you because that's what he does. The Gregory Law Firm, personal injury, contract disputes, small business. Check him out. DJ Gregory, Gregory Law Firm, Saltillo, Mississippi, bringing to you the Rebel Report. So I've been thinking about a few things over the last few days and figured I'd bring them to you tonight, especially since we're going to kind of do a quick in and out. Some people call them pressing questions, five burning questions that I have for Ole Miss entering 2024. These five things are the things that I'm thinking about the most when it comes to this team and reaching their goals this season. First one for me is Lane Kiffin ready for this? We've talked about this some before, but is Lane Kiffin ready for this? Now, he has been in this spot before. He talked about it at Media Day. There was high expectations for one of his USC teams. It probably wasn't particularly fair considering the sanctions that they were up against. But other than that one season, and even then there was a caveat, he hasn't been in this position before as a head coach. Now, he got to witness it firsthand, and he was part of it, a big-time part of it. Under Nick Saban at Alabama. So he's been a part of a staff that had these kind of expectations and roster and pressure, et cetera. But he hasn't been the head coach of a team that both had the roster and the program to match the hype like they're getting this season. Again, outside of that one USC team, and he mentioned at Media Days that in hindsight, he would have handled that a lot differently. The lead up, the approach, the way they talked about it, the conversations, etc. Lane Kiffin's done pretty remarkable things at Ole Miss. He's breaking win records. They are very, very consistent. In 4 years, you can really point to one, maybe two games that they lost that they quote-unquote should not have. And when you're talking about an SEC team having so very few, they shouldn't have lost that game on your resume is pretty incredible. You know exactly what you're going to get from Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss every Saturday. They have brought excitement back into the program. They're winning games. They have done an excellent job protecting their home field. They have gone to access bowls. They won 11 games for the first time in program history. Lane Kiffin's done a lot of really incredible things at Ole Miss. Questioning his coaching acumen at this point is just a really, really stupid thing to do. Some people do it, though, and they do it for this thing that he has yet to do on his own as a head coach. Can you compete for a championship? Can you win a championship? You guys know me. I don't think championship or bust is fair for almost anybody, especially not for Lane Kiffin this year. But is he ready for this? How has he internally handled the offseason? How will he handle the pressure? How will he handle all of this? That's the thing I think about the most. He has not been in this spot very often as a head coach. Is he prepared to take Ole Miss from really, really, really good to great? I think he is. He has proven that he is, but now's the time for him to actually do it. Is he ready? I think so. We're about to find out. Number two, speaking of good to great, has the defensive line gone from good to great? But more importantly, because we talk about defensive line when we have a good bit. I mean, we even did one of these podcasts not too terribly long ago, wondering if Ole Miss has championship-level depth on the lines of scrimmage. That's something that I think about all the time. I think their four starters are as good as you could get with Ivy and Pegues returning and Nolan and Uman Mielen. I really think that there are very few, if any, teams in the country that offer obviously better than that. Frankly, it might not be anybody. There may be nobody in the country that offers truly obviously better than what Ole Miss presents in their starters on the defensive line. But as you guys know, there are more than four defensive linemen that play not only in Pete Golding's defense, but in football. You need more than four. Do they have enough behind those guys to compete for and possibly win a championship? Is Chris Hardy ready? Will he acclimate and be prepared to give them quality SEC snaps? However, they're going to use Santarian Perkins and Dudley maybe on the edge. But what's that going to look like? Are they ready to get after the quarterback? I mean, I know Perkins is listed at defensive end. Is he ready to be more consistently effective at getting after the quarterback? Is a Kalo Stone still going to be reliable? Is Xavier Harris taking a step forward? How many of those really, really talented true freshmen that they brought in are prepared to come in and play right away? They need those guys to be – they don't need them to be Nolan and Princely. They don't need them to be Ivy and Pegues. But those guys, the two and the threes on the defensive line, are going to have to play, whether it be just based on rotation or because it's football. It's a physical game, especially up front on the defensive line. Do they have the depth that is capable of taking that defense from good to great? I don't even think good is necessarily they were passable up front on the defensive line last year. You guys know me. I really like what Ivy presents. I like what Pegues presents. But there was none of that high-level play. I think they've got high-level players now, but you need more than that. You need depth. Do they have it? It's burning question or pressing question number two. Number three, how about the transfer defensive backs? Can they be locked down? You've got Amos on one side, assuming that is accurate, and Hamilton on the other. I mean, they brought in both of those guys to start. Both of those guys probably would have been starters at Alabama if not for Ole Miss's intervention this season. I think that Amos is safer, a safer bet than that of Hamilton, but people are really high on both of them. Can they come in and be those guys that Ole Miss needs them to be? Because we talk so much about the portal guys on the defensive line. We talk so much about Jackson Dart and Trey Harris, and we talk so much about the offensive line. But, man, if you're not good at corner, you're going to play teams that can expose you. I mean, even LSU, they don't have Daniels anymore. They don't have the two first-round pick wide receivers anymore. But they will have a good passing offense. That is one thing about LSU that I promise, that they will have talented wide receivers. They will be schemed well, and they will present a challenge. But it's the SEC. There's a lot of good quarterbacks. There's a lot of really good wide receivers. if you're inadequate at defensive back, then you're in trouble, regardless of how good the transfers are up front on the defensive line. You know what I mean? And that's kind of a position group that I don't think that I'm doing a good enough job, especially on the radio show, of talking about enough, because I'm so focused on the lines of scrimmage that I often forget that it's likely that both of Ole Miss's defensive backs, both of their corners, are transfers. Are they ready to be what they can be? They need to be what they can be. If not, then Ole Miss might underachieve. You've got to be, you know, breaking news more at 11. You can't win a championship without being basically elite everywhere. So, you know, that's why I get paid the big bucks, I guess. Number four, can they keep Jackson Dart protected and healthy? We've talked about Jackson Dart and his health before, but I think it just extends beyond him protecting his own body when he gets out in space. They need to protect him better. Can this offensive line protect Jackson Dart better? And can this offensive line provide enough in the running game and just in simple pass protection where Ole Miss does not need to use Dart in the run game as much as they have in years past? In an ideal scenario, you could win a lot of games really without having to use Dart in his feet at all. I know that's a really important part of the offense, and his game is having that running threat from the quarterback. But I do think that they did not do a good enough job, as you guys know, last year of not only run blocking, but protection as well. They needed to get better on the offensive line. But if you're going to play 15 games like they think they're going to play, your quarterback's got to stay healthy. Can this offensive line protect him? I talk a lot about him protecting himself, but are they ready to go from good to great? Well, from bad to great up front on the offensive line and protect their quarterback and win games without him having to take a bunch of hits. He had to take hits to beat Mississippi State. You know what I mean? He had to take hits in the Tulane game that should have been unnecessary. Can Ole Miss beat a South Carolina, even a Wake Forest? Kind of stretching it a little bit here, but a Kentucky without really having to depend on Dart taking a bunch of hits to get you there. He's tough, but can they make him not have to be? And finally, can they avoid a trap? This is, you know, kind of like one of those, you know, media guy narrative things. But I do think that there's a lot of truth to the hunter becoming the hunted. And because of what Ole Miss is going into this season, they are going to be a lot of these schools' get-up game. You guys aren't going to be jacked up for Kentucky the same way you will be Georgia, right? South Carolina is going to be insane when Ole Miss comes to town, both because it'll be a top 10 Ole Miss team that comes to town. Lane Kiffin and Juice Wells, there is hatred for that guy in South Carolina. That could be an ugly environment. That could be one of those games where you've got people that were on the sidelines for that game that, you know, as the years go by, they start telling stories of the things that they heard. It'll be one of those games. It'll be a violent environment. It'll be nasty, and that's always a difficult place to play anyway. Ole Miss is the hunted now. They're going to go to Fayetteville, and, you know, Arkansas always wants to beat Ole Miss. Maybe that's not the best example, but you are going to be that target game now, as opposed to you being the team that has target games. Your people's target game, a lot of them, Kentucky, South Carolina, Florida, Arkansas. I mean, LSU especially, but that's a little bit different, as you can imagine. You're the hunted now. Can they avoid traps against teams that they're better than? Mississippi State, South Carolina, Kentucky, Arkansas, Oklahoma. That can't be categorized as a trap game, but I think you guys are following me here. Can they avoid the letdown? Lane Kiffin's been really, really good at avoiding the letdown, but they're getting everybody's best shot this year. So again, I've got to go here in just a few minutes. So we'll read comments very quickly. I appreciate all of you guys being here. I know that we usually go much longer than this, but I thank you guys as always. We'll be back on Sunday, regular full live stream. Training camp begins on Tuesday. Definitely regular full on live stream, and it's full speed ahead into football season. The podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online. ABSMS.com, Advantage Business Systems, has you covered for all of your office technology needs. If you're a Mississippi business, tell them I sent you. You get a complimentary office technology assessment. Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection. You can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Good on me. I didn't miss tonight. Life is good. Scott, I appreciate you, man. I really appreciate you. Laugh out loud at the I'm Michael Borky thing. Oh, man, it made me laugh so hard. It was so funny. One, can the O-line come together? Two, how will the running back situation be handled? Three, can the DBs play man coverage versus elite teams? I really like that one. Four, can team keep focus against lesser opponents? Dave, it's like you read my mind, my friend. Can we get deep in the depth chart in games to keep starters fresh throughout the season? Especially offensively. I think they can do that at tight end. I think Daquan Wright is really going to be good for them. But can they rotate more at wide receiver when games are, you know, not blowout fashion, but Ole Miss is in control of? Can you take fewer hits on Trey Harris and Watkins? And can Priestcorn take fewer hits and things like that? Can you protect Art enough to where he doesn't have to run the ball, where he can just hand it off and dink and dunk and just kind of control games in the second half? For sure. Thoughts on the transfers in baseball? They did fine. Yeah, I think that's the word that I'm going to use. I am not going to sit here and try to oversell you on anything. I think that after what was a pretty disastrous start to the portal, you can look at what they've put together and you can create a path of an improved team that gets back into the postseason. I don't know yet what I think their ceiling is. I don't think it's particularly high still. But with what they've added in getting Elliott back and having a rotation of guys now that you've seen do it before, like you kind of know what you have there with a new pitching coach, you don't have to homer your way into thinking this team can be improved from last year's team. It is rational, if not expected, for what they did to have improved them somewhat. I'm just not going to sit here and talk about, like, oh, this should be a team that hosts now. Why should it be a team that hosts now? There's no reason to think that as of this moment. I'm concerned about pitching depth. You always have to wonder about these guys that are moving to the SEC, how they translate. But they've done fine since losing Fisher and Doyle and Mendez. They did fine. I'm just not going to sit here and tell you that they're back, because that would be disingenuous. Five questions: offensive line, DBs, Phil Judkins' shoes, D-line depth, and can Lane keep focused and rise to the moments versus his Bama game performances? You're really high on Big Zay Harris. If he stays healthy, he will definitely be a key piece in the next few years. He was really helpful for them last year in spots, for sure. One question is, can Lane keep this team focused like Saban or Smart? Questions the players we have is redundant. And I understand that it's the end of July, but we have to question the coaching staff. I mean, sure, absolutely. Pete Golding, I think he's really good. I think his time at Alabama, it was unfairly criticized. I think they were much better than people want to give him credit for. It's just not 2009 anymore. But last year, there was a talent issue. I thought they did a good job relative to the talent that he had available. They won games on defense. They beat Mississippi State on defense. They beat Arkansas on defense. But talent isn't an excuse for this defense. If they're not better, then the attention needs to turn onto Pete Golding. Fair enough. Not only is South Carolina and LSU back-to-back road games, but both teams are coming off of a bye. Yeah, that's tough scheduling for South Carolina, for sure. That is tough scheduling with South Carolina. They have Akron and then a bye and then Ole Miss. But look, I mean, Ole Miss's roster is a lot better than theirs. I know it's on the road, but that's a game that if you're an elite team the way that people think Ole Miss is, that's a game you just find a way to win. It doesn't have to be pretty. You just go win it. Will South Carolina fans be bringing batteries and mustard bottles to that game? Oh, boy. It'll be nasty. What Ole Miss should hope for, obviously you guys hope for this, of course, but the possibility, if not the likelihood, that South Carolina is only 2-2 going into that game to take some wind out of the sails of the fan base. I mean, if they lose to Kentucky and LSU, regardless of it being Ole Miss coming back and Juice Wells, you're not going to get the same volume of people that you would have, say, if they win both of those games, right? So hope for a couple of losses there. So, again, I'm sorry, guys. This is short, but I got to go. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back with regular length on Sunday. I appreciate all of you. Please like the video, all that good stuff. And I will see you on Sunday. Thank you, guys.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.